So my name is Micah Neustein.
And Melissa.
What's your last name, Melissa?
Neustein.
That's right. And I'm 31. Melissa is 28. Yeah. Today's August 10th of 2019, and we are speaking with Ron and Sandy Neustein, my parents, Melissa's parent-in-law, and in Irvine, California, sharing, getting some of their history, specifically around how you guys met. So tell us, you know, 43 years ago, you know, how did you meet and what was that experience like?
We want all the juicy details.
Oh, my goodness.
Even your first thoughts when you first saw each other, if you remember everything.
Well, I had I'd graduated college in 1975, and I couldn't get a teaching job in Pittsburgh. There was a glut on the market for teachers in every state. I even applied out of state. And I had gone to school with a friend of mine, Katie, who was originally from California. She came to the University of Pittsburgh to go to school. And she said, you should come out to California. And there's lots of jobs out there, you know, lots of opportunity. So I had lived at home to go to college, so I didn't have the dormitory experience. And I was getting to the point where it was time to leave the nest. And I took a chance, and I flew out to California. And I lived with Katie's sister and brother-in-law and their six kids for a little while. I was able to find work very quickly. And I wanted to meet other people my same age. And so I joined a Jewish organization it was for young Jewish professionals. So I could, you know, social group. And that's how we did in those days. You joined a group. You didn't go online and look for people of like-minded.
There was no online.
There was no online anything. And so I actually went to a dance, and I actually saw Ron. He wasn't dancing. He was just standing around. I said, that guy's really handsome, but he's got a scowl on his face. What's he so mad about? And, you know, he's just looking around the room. And so I, you know, was going to try to make my way to go talk to him. And then by the time I got to where he was gone. And so how did you end up at that dance?
Well, one of the things that my mom tried to do during the time period between when they left and in 1971 when the time period we're talking about, 1976, was she tried to get me involved socially with somebody. And so she tried to influence, through her and through a friend of hers, actually, tried to influence me to go to dances and to social events and that type of thing. And I also ended up joining the same organization. But I don't know that I remember that situation, because obviously if I left, then I do remember leaving it, but I obviously didn't know that you had seen me there.
Yeah, I mean, I saw you from, you know, it was a big place and across the way, and I remember saying, oh, he's kind of handsome, but you were, you know, you didn't have a smile on your face.
Okay, but get to the next.
So the first time you had seen Dad was not the first time you had spoken to Dad. Okay.
No. And so then after that, there was an event, and it was a trip to Big Bear. It was a snow trip?
Yes,
a snow trip. And this organization had rented a big, big cabin, and you could sign up to go. So they bused us up there. But when I first met Dad was the night before the bus trip. Everybody had dinner at a restaurant in the San Fernando Valley called Josefina's. And we were at the same table, Dad had kind of longish hair and a big bushy mustache, and he was wearing a turtleneck and a peace sign. He looked like something out of the Brady Bunch or something. And you know, we didn't really talk that much, but because everybody was having dinner. So the next day we ended up on the bus to the facility in Big Bear, and we went sledding and that kind of thing, yeah. And playing in the snow. And then that evening we ended up at dinner at the lodge, and they were serving us dinner, and people were dancing, and Ron and I were across the table from each other, and he said something like, "This is stupid. I should be dancing." I said, "So, ask someone to dance." And he said, "Okay, you want to dance?" I said, "Sure." So we stood up and we were dancing on the dance floor. And he said, "So what's your name?" I said, "Sandy." "What's your name?" He said, "Ron." He said, "Where are you from?" I said, "I'm from Pittsburgh." He said, "Oh, I grew up here, but I have relatives in Pittsburgh." I said, "Really?" I said, "What's your last name?" And he said, "Neustein." I go, "Oh, Neustein. Oh, my God. I went to school with a kid named Neustein. What a jerk. Couldn't stand the guy. Just what an idiot." And Ron said, "Well, what was his first name?" I said, "Steve. Steve Neustein." He goes, "That's my cousin. He's my first cousin." I go, "You're kidding me." He goes, "Yeah." He goes, "I didn't like," and Ron said, "I didn't like him either."
Yeah, right.
So that's how we met.
So, Dad, so Mom remember seeing you for the first time a couple of days before or whatever, however many days of that dance. Do you remember the first time you took notice of Mom?
Well, I mean, it was in the same snow trip. But the thing that flashes in my mind was when we got back to the valley or whatever, you know, I asked her on a date, and we went out to dinner. I took her to the
La Brea Tar Pits.
But I remember when we were having dinner, I remember saying to her, "So, what do you think about having a relationship?" You know, because you asked the question about how quickly did I know. I knew from the minute I saw her that we were going to get married. That's what I felt. Mom, you know, you can say what how you reacted to that or whatever.
I said, "Have a relationship? We just went out one time. We don't even know if we're going to be talking to each other next week. Hold on there." Yeah. I said, let's see how it goes. And so, yeah. And then
the subsequent to that, and you know, this is one of the more romantic parts of the story. Well, we were sitting in a Carl's Jr. And she was living in Redondo Beach, and I was living in the valley. And I said to her, "Why don't you move to the valley? Because you know that way it wouldn't be so difficult for us to get together." And I think she said, "Well, why don't you move to Redondo Beach?" And I said, "I don't want to do that." So I said to her, "Well, wouldn't it be easier if we just got married?" So that was the romantic beginning of our...
So that's how you asked Mom to marry you? Is you just, you know, in a Carl's Jr. parking lot?
Carl's Jr.
We were sitting and having a hamburger at the time, actually.
Yeah, so not very romantic.
And then the other things that come to mind was that we eventually did move in together in an apartment. And Mom didn't want to... she had some trepidation in terms of how to share that information with her parents at that point because we were living together. So what we decided to do was we got an extra phone line in our apartment, and nobody had that phone line except her parents. So whenever it rang, we knew it was her parents, and she'd make sure that, she answer or I answer, whoever was designated as living in that particular place.
Right.
So
I couldn't tell them.
You know, how long were you together then?
Well, we met in March and we got married in September. So it had to have been in the, I think it was the summer when we moved in together.
Yeah.
So yeah. Yeah. Wow. It was a pretty quick thing.
And I do remember that we lived in Oakwood Garden Apartments, right?
Yeah, in Sherman Oaks.
In Sherman Oaks, and that was a big, huge complex with a huge pool and barbecues and everything, which were not as prevalent then as they are now. But we knew a lot of people at that point because we both were members of this group called Emmett, and there was a lot of people that were in that. We went to a lot of activities through them. I'll never forget one thing that we did, not to divert or whatever, but we went downtown to an improv, we were basically the only ones in there. There was maybe 20 or 25 of us in there.
We were the only group in there.
We were the only group in there. And I, believe it or not, I was sort of the social butterfly in the group, you know, for whatever reason. And they all encouraged me to go up on stage with these improv people. So I was up there sitting on a chair. And all of a sudden, somebody walks out from backstage to do his improv thing with me as a subject. And believe it or not, it was Robin Williams. Hmm. Nobody knew who Robin Williams was because this was back in 1976, 77 or
right,
whatever.
It was just starting and, out.
Or actually, it might have been even before that. But in any case.
It was probably 76.
76. And it's, I'll never forget when Mom and I walked out of there, the first thing I said to her, we said to each other was, I don't know who that guy is, but he is going to be something. Mm-hmm. And Robin Williams
was,
is.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of great memories of that whole time period. And then of course we got married in September and, we went back to Pittsburgh to get married, and we talk about weddings and how they're, you know, you guys are, you know, have this phenomenal event coming up, and Hallie just got married, but Mom and I, we were in California, and her mom put this wedding on, so we got on an airplane, and we flew back to Pittsburgh, got off the plane, you know, went to their house, and then all of a sudden, you know, went and got married, and we sort of just walked into this room and got married, and we didn't pretty much know anybody, and we weren't involved.
Well, you didn't know anybody. Well, they were friends of my parents, yeah, so I knew them.
You knew a lot of people, but the it was sort of we weren't involved in any of the planning or whatever. I mean, Mom's dress was beautiful. Her mom had actually made that for her, but it's unlike a lot of the events that happen these days when there's a lot of planning involved, by the prospective husband and wife. So that was quite. And then we, our journey continued from there. We ended up coming back to California, and Mom, I think we were out there for maybe 7 years or something, and then all the while Mom was saying, I need to be back by my parents. I need to, you know, especially after Hallie was born 5 years later. And so we ended up leaving California and moving to Pittsburgh. I'll never forget that when we lived with her parents for 6 months, and that was interesting without going into any more detail than that. But
I can understand the desire to be close to family. So
yeah, and
I get that.
And then we ended up buying a house out there, and I'll never forget. We ended up buying a house at a 14% interest rate, because that's what the interest rates were back then.
Yeah.
And that was a challenge. But but we stayed out there, and then of course we went on from there. So
I have a quick question. Well, I have two. So the first question is, Dad mentioned you were crying a lot at the wedding. So can you please share with us, Mom, why you were crying so much? And then after the wedding, I know it was, you know, very conservative time back then. So did you ever share with your parents that you were living together prior to being married?
well, I I think years later I told him that we had lived together. My mother and I did have a little talk before the wedding, and she said, "Are you at all nervous about, you know, the wedding night?" And I said, "Well, no, Ron's already, you know, seen me, so I'll be okay." You know, so, but I didn't admit to them that we had lived together until years later, because I was very concerned about what they thought of me and their image of me, and they had certain ideas of how a young lady should behave. So that's why I kept that from them. And I think I was crying through the entire ceremony because I was a little bit scared. Like, I really didn't know Ron. We really didn't know each other. In 6 months, you don't really know that much about a person and how you're really going to live a life together. So I think I was scared, and I'm a pretty emotional person. And so I think I was overwhelmed by the emotional situation of the whole thing, because when I was growing up, I never thought of myself as getting married. I never, you know, said, "Oh, you know, I'm going to get married and have kids." And I didn't think of that. So when it happened, I think I surprised myself. So I think that's why I was crying.
So I'm going to ask you first, Dad, to give Mom more time to think about her answer. So what do you appreciate most about Mom?
I think it goes back to the fact that we've always been able to end every situation on a positive communication level. I think we talked earlier about never going to bed mad at each other, and I just think that Mom tends to be a little more of an emotional creature than I am. I'm more of a logical creature, although I obviously have emotion, and Mom has logic, but but she has a tendency to look at things emotionally, and so a lot of the communication issues that we've had at some point were that I would try to approach things from a logical standpoint, that this is what happened, this is why it happened, this is what we need to do to solve the problem. And Mom had a little bit of difficulty in terms of getting through that logic. She was pretty much just saying, you know, I'm not happy with the way things are. And so we did a little bit of letting things relax and not pursuing negativity, and things ended on a positive note. And but I think that the communication, and then just but I guess the answer to the question is just I thought about the fact that I'd like to marry this young lady. When I first met her, was that she just made me feel extremely comfortable, and that I just saw my life becoming complete as a result of the fact that she was gracious enough to become part of my life and creating our life, and like any other couple, we've had are some challenges here and there, but for the most part, the last 43 years has been just been spectacular. I couldn't ask for a better journey.
Your turn.
Yeah. So the question is, what do I appreciate about Dad?
Yeah. Not his short answers.
Not his short answers, right? I guess I appreciate what he talked about was his logic, because I'm okay with the day to day of our lives together, but the finances and you know, making all that work and the insurance and all that is really hard for me. Mm-hmm. And so Dad really is able to take charge with that and relieve me of even filling, balancing the checkbook.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very good with numbers. So, you know, when we were buying a house, he would figure all that out because it just, it's not in my wheelhouse. I have a hard time with that. So I really appreciate that about him. And I also appreciate his willingness to put up with me in the best of times and in the worst of times, because there were some times when we were first married that I was not all together. You know, I was, you know, figuring myself out and our relationship, and I was pretty ugly at times. And but he stuck it out, and we made it work. So I really appreciate that.
And during those times, I never once, not for one second, thought that our relationship was in jeopardy. Even at times when she got mad and said, you know, stormed out of the house, which happened occasionally, or you know, said things that were a little challenging or whatever. My thoughts were, this is all going to work itself out. We're meant to be together. We're meant to go on this journey together, and it's all going to work itself out. And it did. But I think a lot of that, again, goes back to the fact that we love each other, and we always had open communication, and we always, you know, had our the best interests of each other, and our relationship, you know, was the most important thing.
So could you please share with us, talking about that, your first 5 years of marriage, and then subsequently your next 10 years, 20, 30, you know, even now that, you know, you have an empty nest, and it's mm-hmm. been a while, mm-hmm. but finally, finally, both of your kids are married. Mm-hmm. So please share with us, I guess, in time increments, what mm-hmm. that has looked like and what it's been like.
So the first 5 years of our marriage, we really were learning about each other and figuring out how we were going to be as a married couple. And I was 22 when we got married, and I really wasn't ready to have kids the first 5 years. So I didn't end up having Hallie till I was 29. And so the second 5 years of our marriage was when our children were born. Hallie was 5 when we had been married about 7 years, I think, because I was 29, I was 22 when we got married. And then Micah was born 5 years after that. So everything really did work in 5-year increments. And the reason I did that was because I remember how my sister and I fought, and we were pretty close in age. We were 3 years apart. So I thought, if I eliminate the middle child and just have the first child and the last child, that they'll get along really well. And it started out real good, but as they got older, actually Hallie was really the instigator. Micah was never the fighter. And so as the kids grow up, you know, you go through stages with them as well, and they are in 5-year increments because you're in kindergarten. And then 5 years later, you're getting ready to go into middle school. And then from middle school, you go into high school, and then high school into college. And so all of those years, it was important to me to be there for them. And I worked part-time. I was a teacher, but I taught half a day so that I could be there when they got home from school and be available for football or after-school activities. And so...
Yeah, it's interesting. The question is interesting, and it brings to mind. And I've kind of gotten this from you, Micah, and from Hallie, but I did not have the opportunity, for whatever reason, to go through my work life with an overly a positive or assertive perspective. I had to work, and I worked, and I tried to do as good a job as I could, but I remember when I first got a job, I I went in to an insurance company, and I was interviewing for a claims adjuster. And when I got there, I was told by the HR person that there was no opportunities there, but there was an opportunity as an underwriter. I have no idea what an underwriter was, and it turns out that's what I ended up being hired to do, and that's what I did, and then I got promoted from that, and blah, 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 and I actually worked in the insurance business for 30 years. But it was never, I never had the passion that I know, Micah, that you have in your job, and hopefully, Melissa, you have in your job. As a result of that, and to the point, is that both Micah and Hallie, and I guess Mom to a certain extent, has told me that when I came home from work, more times than not, I was, I don't know, how would you describe it? Just frustrated, or I would have a sense of just not being completely at peace with regard to that aspect of my life.
Mm-hmm. Didn't like your work life.
Yeah. I don't think that, and correct me if I'm wrong, both from your perspective, Mike, and Mom, I don't think I was an angry father as a result of it. But was I an angry father?
I wouldn't categorize as angry, maybe on edge.
On edge?
Often.
Often. Okay, to the point where did that cause you to, did I alienate myself from you as a result of that? I mean, where did you come? Was it to the point where that Mom would say, "Dad will be home in a few minutes," and in your mind was going, "Uh oh, wonder what kind of mood he's going to be in today," kind of thing?
Or? No, I knew what kind of mood you were going to be in.
Okay, so
no, I wouldn't say that it created any sort of like ill feelings about anything.
Yeah,
you know,
that's one of the things. In the interview that we had earlier, we talked about my journey or whatever. I mean, that's also one of the things I feel very fortunate about, because your upbringing entailed watching a father that did not have, you know, an incredibly, you know, energetic work life, yet your work life is from the way you describe it, is extremely positive, and you have the energy, and you have the ambition, and you have this strong desire, and in all respect to you, you've developed that not through me. I think you've developed a lot of that through Mom, as I think we've discussed before, seeing her as a teacher and how incredibly positive she is in terms of creating young minds, and I think that she deserves all the credit for that, and I sort of, I don't deserve the credit for that necessarily, but I guess I didn't get in the way enough to create a challenge for you in terms of what you've achieved.
In a previous conversation, mentioned that, you know, and I guess I summarize it as excellence is kind of what inspires her. I that resonates pretty strongly with me, because, and maybe in a different way, what I would say inspires me is to make sure that I constantly exceed expectations of everyone, right? So whether that be personally of myself, I set an expectation, I want to exceed that, exceed Melissa's expectations of being her partner. Same goes for you as my parents. You know, you have certain expectations of your children. I want to make sure that I exceed those. And that's what drives me to. So I think I get a lot of that from, not to say that you don't feel that same way, but I think a lot of that comes from the way Mom handles herself in a lot of situations. So,
and then just as kind of as a closing comment with this, I think that's one of the things that I feel very strongly about, is that it's all about, you know, one of the most important things in a relationship, whether it be with children or husband, wife, is the complement, the strengths and weaknesses of both individuals. I mean, you're not going to be the same person. You're not going to have the same strengths and the same weaknesses. But being able to take strengths and weaknesses and blend them together and take the best, you know, the best out of your strengths and learn from your weaknesses and move forward as a family together. And I see that happening in our family. And without crediting one person or another, the fact that we together as a family are moving in that direction, I think, is an extremely positive.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to end it with this. And given that partially the intent of the conversation today with you guys is, you know, for you to share your love story and how you met and created a life together. And also knowing that at some point, hopefully in the far, far future, one of you may no longer be here with the other. And knowing that this conversation will live in perpetuity, I want you guys to look at one another and share for 30 seconds or a minute about how much you love one another.
Well, you know that I love you, right?
I do.
Because two people can't go through what we've gone through with each other and not love each other. And even though I don't say it every day and gush all over you, you know that I love you, right?
Yeah, I do.
Right. And I guess it's shown in ways other than physical and material ways. You know, love is shown in ways that are very personal and in deeds and in actions. And not necessarily always in words and material things, I guess.
Well, you know, babe, that you're my best friend, and my lover, and my best friend, and I know because of your maj and because of your tutoring and things, you look forward to getting out of the house sometime. But if it was up to me, we would spend every day together, and because I just enjoy being with you all the time and going to movies and going out to dinner and going for walks and walking on the beach. And I just thoroughly love everything about you and every moment that we're together. And I've loved you since March 19th, 1976. We're getting ready to celebrate our 43rd wedding anniversary in a month, and I can't wait for that. So,
right. So more road trips to come.
There you go. Love you, sweetie.
I love you too, with all my heart.
Me too.
Well, thank you. And like you said, love is shown in different ways. The same can be said for Melissa and my relationship. But you guys have shown in different ways how to love another individual unconditionally. So I thank you for that, and I thank you for sharing this with us.
We love appreciate you, you asking us. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Micah. Melissa.
Love you.
Love you too.
Love you guys.
Love you too.
You show me through farting. You show me a lot of your love.